Not because I'm all that, because he's all that. Amen. How many are hungry tonight? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Tonight we're going to see a transformation of Paul, really with Saul to Paul. And I believe the transformation can be in each one of us. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is limited in time and space. I believe an encounter with the King will do wonders for everyone. And I think that too often we short-circuit the Lord in many regards, that we could have an encounter at home. We can have an encounter in our car. We can have an encounter at work. You can be on a lunch break and God can show up. I said, you can be on a lunch break, God can show up. You can be walking outside just praising the Lord, waiting for your shift to start. God can meet with you. He can meet you in the morning. He can meet you in the afternoon. How many knows we need to be ready and anticipate? If we're ready and anticipating, how many knows that expectation is there? And when I expect something to happen, it usually does. Many times we expect bad things to happen or this is going to happen. The Lord wants us to release our faith in something greater than that. We have to realize that he is with us and he'll never leave us or forsake us. That with him, listen, all things are possible. In Acts chapter 9, start with verse 1 here. It says, and then Saul was breathing threats and murders against the disciple of the Lord. He went to the high priest. Saul was hostile towards the church. His intensity increased. He was fanatical and destructive in his ways. A better way to describe it is that he slaughtered against. That means the air that he breathed, he inhaled and he exhaled hostile sentiments. Can you imagine him saying this? Hey, man, I don't like these guys. I don't like these disciples. I don't like these people who are speaking in his name. See, Paul was under the guise that Jesus was just some guy that caused problems. He was a blasphemer. Saul had permission from the high priest to arrest all those who were in this way. But he's going to have an encounter with the King of Kings that's going to change his life. Many times when people persecute, sometimes they do it in ignorance. They just don't know. Are you with me? In verse 2 it says, and they desired of him letters from Damascus to the synagogue, that if they found any in this way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul is persecuting the church in other regions. He's all the way to Damascus. That's the ancient capital of Syria. It's about 140 miles northeast of Jerusalem. How many of those Christ still rules in the midst of his enemies? Yes or no? How many knows that he's a pretty good ways away from Jerusalem, but he's still persecuting? 140 miles back then was a good journey, wouldn't you say? Yeah. It'd be a good journey today in the transportation they had back then. Today it's not hard, but how many knows that's a good journey? That he says, if I found any in that way, I wonder how many he arrested and he brought bound in his lifetime. It doesn't say much, but he did arrest several. And now he's going to have an encounter with the king. I know for a fact that when you're on the road that's doing what is right, you don't have to look for much. It comes your way. Are you with me? And I've learned this about persecution, that you don't have to seek for it. It'll find you out. But persecution should never be a thing that we should be like fearful of or afraid of what somebody's going to say. Truly, listen, if we have the Lord on our side, you know what? God will be with you. And to me, persecution has always advanced the church. It's always advanced everything we've ever done. Some of you have come up against some at your workplace, or somebody says something to you, or I like to call it this way, they try to bait you in conversations. They try to say, oh, you're one of them. Oh, man, what, you may slip just for a moment. Oh, you're one of them. I thought you were this way. Amen. I mean, those that it's quick to pick out your faults and failures. I haven't met a perfect Christian, but I've met a perfect God. Notice he's asked for letters. He wants to persecute those outside the Holy Land. He's looking for people who he can arrest. When people are carnal and have zeal, they have passion, but also they're under the place where they have a satanic thirst for blood. They're persecuting the church foolishly, and their ignorance is in their zeal. I've seen that many times when somebody comes up with, they don't even know what they're talking about. I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about the Latter-day Saints either, the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole has given more to help people than any other organization ever in the world. How many knows that's true with God's people? It's amazing to me that today, more than ever, the church is being quiet when it comes to the things of the Lord. It's time to stand up and speak what you believe. No longer cower down. You have a witness. You live in a country that you can still speak. I know sometimes our freedoms are being eroded, but the truth is you can still speak for your God. Too many times people are looking at flesh as more than just flesh. They start to test things. Well, man, this person has power. I can't say. Listen to me. All people are flesh. They have it like you and I do. And when somebody says you can't speak in the name of the Lord, they're just flesh. Are you with me? When you start to deal with fear, I want you to know that you can walk over a whole lot of things. Fear has torment. In verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there was a light shined about him. How many believe that the Lord is brilliant? Yes or no? Do you know in him is no darkness at all? I said in him is no darkness at all. When you meet the Lord, you're going to see the Shekinah glory. That's an awesome thing. And one day you'll reflect in that image. How many knows that when Moses went up on top of the mountain, he didn't realize that his countenance was shining when he came back down. Now I really marvel at that, that he was a flesh like we were. But notice that when he got close to that proximity, it changed. And the glory still resided upon him. Hello? I mean, that's pretty awesome. Well, let me make it spiritual here for a moment. I may not see a glow about you because of your natural flesh, but inside that power is radiant. And in the spirit realm, every demon in hell knows you're a believer. It's sensed in that area because they operate in darkness and you don't. Woe unto us if we operate in darkness. As he journeyed, he came near. Suddenly there was a light around him. The verb here is like this. It's intended to say it's a heavenly appearance. It says it was like lightning, but how many knows that it was more than just that? It was noonday. It was so bright and brilliant, it overwhelmed them. And I want you to know that they all experienced something, but only Saul heard what was being spoken. I'll get to this in a moment here. You know what? When God speaks, you could be in a crowd and he could speak just to you. How many knows God will give you that wisdom? And sometimes we just need to ask, Lord, give me wisdom here. When the light shone about him, I want you to know that it started to change his life. Like all of us, when you have an encounter with Christ, something happens. Look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's like the question of the day. When the Lord asks you a question, it doesn't mean he doesn't know the answer either. Many times it's to get our attention to begin to think about, what is he asking? What is he asking of me so I can realize? He thought he was doing the Lord a favor. He thought he was upholding the law by persecuting those. Remember now, Jesus had already died. He saw that area. That was real. Nobody knew that. That was a fact. But now all of a sudden, I'm preaching. Saul's preaching from the place of he was a blasphemer and he was trying to destroy the law. He got what he deserved. Now I'm going after all those who like used to follow his way. And now he's going to meet the one. Hallelujah. Isn't it neat to know that God can still save people? I believe Saul was profitable for the ministry. Say amen. You were profitable for the ministry. God saved you. Isn't that glorious? In writing 2/3 of the New Testament, I think Jesus was pretty smart to save him. Amen? Notice he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying, why do you persecute me? He fell on the earth. He heard a voice. He fell in terror. He was prostrate. He was overpowered by the influence of this heavenly appearance. He saw nothing further and he heard a voice. When God begins to bring his presence, it's overwhelming. It's overpowering. See, he's trying to hold on to that vision, and now he's blinded with that light. And he speaks a word. There's a bunch of his companions there, but he's speaking to Saul. Why are you persecuting me? Can you imagine thinking that you're doing it unto the great God Jehovah? And now all of a sudden you hear a voice speaking unto you. It's no longer like I'm standing proud. I'm coming after. I'm now prostrate on the ground and I'm in trembling. I can't see, but I hear a voice. How many believe the Lord can bring humility to anyone? I said to anyone, what did it take to humble you? What did it take to bring you to the place where you had to get on your knees and see that great thing that God spoke? I mean, sometimes pride is deep within us. He was walking in pride. He thinks he was doing God a service. And now he meets the King of Kings. Here's the next thing. When people say they encounter the Lord and there's no power, there's no glory, there's no change, man, I don't see that from Scripture. When you meet the Lord, something has to change. Are you with me? It's more than just like being a companion. They're all going to hear something, but they're not even going to understand what's being spoken because God is speaking to Saul. When God needs to speak, how many knows he can make it clear? And what I appreciate about it, he spoke to him in a Hebrew dialect, which is pretty awesome to me. The question of the day is this: why do you persecute me? It appeals to Saul's conscience. It's designed to wake him up, to give him a sense that you're wrong in what you're doing. You're committing a sin. And he begins to think about it. How many knows that there's not much more to do when you can't see anymore? I think this is a different day, wouldn't you say? Yes. What if that happened to you on your way to church? Thank God you weren't driving, amen? Well, man, you've seen the Lord. How many think that would change your whole lifestyle? See, this is an experience that Paul's going to hold on to. In fact, during this time, God's going to give him some revelation of what's going to happen to him. Now, it didn't dump on him all at once, but he says, I'm going to show you what you must do. And later he's going to show him how much you're going to suffer. But I want you to know that this encounter with Jesus went through his whole ministry. He even brought it up to King Agrippa in chapter 26. I'll get in that in a little while. Are you enjoying tonight? And he said, who are you, Lord? Notice the question. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Achiad. I am Jesus whom you persecute. I am he. You've asked the question, I'm he. I am Jesus. It can't get any clearer than that. I mean, he didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to say, I'm some guy or some this. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now notice something here. He's not feeling he's persecuting Jesus himself, but his disciples. Notice the close comparison that God said, when they persecute you, they're persecuting me. So when things come upon us, we need to realize it's unto the Lord. Sometimes you may feel awful if somebody runs you down. Just go, no, I'm not receiving that. It's unto my God. He knows what I'm going through. Notice that Jesus doesn't move away from his disciples. He makes a union with them. I stand with them. If you persecute them, you're really persecuting me. Hallelujah. When I look at Jesus, who are you, Lord? Saul questions it because he didn't immediately recognize. Notice that he's coming to him. Who are you, Lord? And I think that's such an honest question. Jesus wanted to reveal himself. And notice, after the question became the response. Today I've noticed people don't even ask anything about the Lord. It seemed like they all know what they know. But when somebody begins to ask certain questions, you ever notice a door opens? How many of you realize that? I mean, it was at that moment you can speak a word. Well, what about this? That's why sometimes walk slow amongst the crowd. Like sometimes if you're at work, you know, pray, Lord, I'm here, Lord Jesus. I know you're able to open up conversations. Look for opportunities. If you look for opportunities, you're walking away from fear because you're already ready. Come on. I mean, sometimes the hardest people to reach are our families. Yes or no? Yeah. Notice, I am Jesus. It is me. I am him. Look at verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city. It shall be told you what you must do. How many knows that there's something changing in this man? I kind of wish this happened to every new convert. Meet Jesus. Find out who he is. Have some self-reflection. What do you want me to do? Notice what he says. Go in the city. Now he cannot see. He has been blinded. Now I've done some welding in my life. And there's a few times in my life I've had this thing called flash. What it is the burning of the retinas. And when it gets really bad, it hurts so bad your eyes run with water and you just can't see. I remember one time I was welding next to this guy, and we had these shields up. But man, it seemed like every time I lifted my shield, he'd hit an arc, and then, man, it burned my eyes. Can you imagine the brightness of Jesus Christ himself? It blinded him. It was temporary blindness. Hallelujah. But it didn't destroy his eyes. What about us? The question of the day was, why are you persecuting me? It appeals to him. It's now committed, like, what am I doing? When Christians persecute Jesus, they persecute us. Listen to me, it's the same thing. He starts to think through all these things. Now that he can't see, the Lord speaks a word. I want you to go into the city and wait. Would we be that obedient? Or would we still be dazzled by it? No, I'm just going to sit here. I can't do nothing. How obedient would we be if the Lord told us to do something? Well, it's no different now, is it? Say amen. Thank God for the times that you have to get on your knees. Thank God when you get humbled in that area. Thank God that when somebody else has to lead you. I have to believe that in his heart, I've just met Jesus. He has spoken to me. For the first time, I've heard the voice of Almighty God. I've followed the way of teaching. I've followed the scribe. I've followed the Pharisee. I'm a chief among them. But now I have met God. And God has talked to me. And he has told me that I'm persecuting him by persecuting them. And now I have something to do in the midst of this. I think it's awesome, don't you? And look at this, verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, I believe this with all my heart. They may have heard something, but God wasn't speaking to his companions. It'd be like if you're speaking from over there, you can hear something, but there's no understanding. Are you with me? God knows how to communicate to you. The others may hear some noise, but God's speaking to you. That's why when you come to the altar, Lord, I want to be obedient. Today during service, the Lord spoke a word to me. He says, I want to bring a new anointing upon you. And here's what he spoke. I want the people to really believe they have a new anointing. Amen. Really believe. Sometimes you've got to speak that even to yourself. There is a new anointing upon me. Not that we're all fleshly and think we're all that. No, there's a new anointing upon me. There's a new anointing upon Saul. He's going to be a world changer. Who he's persecuting, he's going to now preach the same gospel. God's going to begin to show him. He's going to take all the experiences that he had and use it for his glory. That's why every job you have, every occupation you go through, it's never in vain. God will use that. Sometimes when you think, man, why am I even doing this? The Lord will use that. He knows where you're at. He knows how to get you where you need to be. Hello? I'm thankful that he had some companions with him, because that's the only thing they're good for, is to help him get to the city. Say amen. Even those that are in the world can be useful in the kingdom. Oh, I can preach that. Notice, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. Can you imagine now your leader, who you're following in zeal, the one who's persecuting the church, he has letters to arrest them, and now he's 140 miles from Jerusalem, still doing it, wreaking havoc. Now he's helpless, he's prostrate, he's in fear, and we got to lead him by the hands. I believe when God brings a powerful witness through you, it'll touch others too. They may not exactly know what's all that's going on, but they can't say something didn't happen.
That's right.
Something didn't happen. You may go back to work on one day, and what happened to you? Why are you like this? Why do you have joy? Why do you have strength? Why do you have peace? How many of us, it'll make a difference.
Yes.
God's going to appeal to him and say, you know what? I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth. His eyes were open, but he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He saw nothing, but he arose in obedience to the command. The key to everything there is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But after you're obedient, make the sacrifice. I've seen people drop off the sacrifice. People, it will cost you something to reach somebody. I don't care how it is, what it is, it will cost you something. It'll cost you time, talent, and ability. Period. Amen? We just can't wish it to happen. No, it takes effort. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Keep going. Open your mouth and speak, and I'll fill it. These guys are leading him. They arose from the earth. I like this. He's starting to use and put to practice instantly what the Lord said to do. Arise and go into the city, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. When he told King Agrippa, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision God gave me. I think that's so cool. He was motivated by it. He followed it. Like all of you, when you got saved, never forget your salvation. Right. It's a glorious thing. Now, maybe you can't pinpoint the day or the hour, but you know when something happened, true? Yes. Well, relish in that. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm not the same. You're not the same. Yes. Has Jesus met with you? Yes. Has he talked to you? Yes. And has he given you some instructions? Yes. Don't sound any different than Saul here. Amen. Look at verse 9. And there was 3 days without sight, neither did he what? He's 3 days without sight. That's pretty remarkable. I think of this, that all of a sudden now he's learning how to truly fast and pray. Now, the Pharisees fasted. They fasted often. They understood the principle. They did. They fasted often. They gave alms. They did everything. But this is going to be a little different. He's going to have a time of now. Now picture not being able to physically see when you could always see. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Yes or no? It's kind of scary in the sense that the Lord didn't say, I'm going to do this or this. Go and be obedient. Many times we're way ahead of where the Lord's at. He already knows that you can't see. Be obedient and fulfill that, and he'll deal with the rest. Sometimes we get all hung up on everything else when we just need to do what he wants us to, and he'll take care of that. Is this good? Yes. 3 days without blindness. That natural blindness turned into be a blessing. Sometimes God wants to get our attention. When we can't see anymore, when we're in that position of we're processing, it brings forth reflection of soul. It allows spiritual knowledge to come into our hearts. It reveals glory that men, listen to me, may not know, but God knows. I'm 3 days now, I'm seeking the Lord. Jesus said, go into the city and I will what? Amen. When I looked up threes, let me give you a few things on threes. Threes here, it stands for completion or entirety. It stands for things that are solid and real. God attributes are comes in threes: omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. In time, in division, it's past, present, and future. The sum of humanity in its capacity of thought, word, and deed. Three denotes divine perfection. The loss of his sight due to that light was not a punishment, but it helped to realize who he was and what God was going to do. He waited for instruction through fasting and prayer, which prepared for the future. Isn't it amazing that God knows how to even prepare us when we don't know how to prepare ourselves? Amen. 3 days without food or drink, he's fasting and praying. He's blinded to the natural now, and all he's doing, he's meditating on all. Can you imagine? Saul knew the Old Testament. The letter of the law, he lived it. Now all of a sudden, abundance of revelation comes. It all starting to make sense. He can back up to the garden where it says Satan told that Eve, she fell, but the word came forth, her seed's going to bruise your head. That sounds like Jesus. How many think it could come alive each generation, each area? A time of reflection. Sometimes you need to pull away from the world and just have a time of reflection on who God is. Sometimes you need to be blinded to all that stuff and just seek the Lord. That's the reason I close my eyes and worship. It just so it blocks everything else out. He has that now in the natural. He's going on a word that God gave him. Listen, don't go beyond the word of the Lord. If God said, do this, do that. Too many Christians are like, it's like, pop up here, pop up here, pop up here, and no stability. No, root and ground yourself. If you'll do, your roots will grow deep and you'll produce more fruit. Amen? Amen. God called you here. He called you for a purpose. Use that purpose. Go in that purpose. Is this good tonight? Yes. When Saul reached that area, listen to me, there was no great celebration. There was no pomp and circumstance. I'm totally relying on the Lord for what is next. If you think about it, I'm totally helpless here. Whether they put him up in an apartment, they put him up into a house, they put him up into a shack, wherever his residence was, he's now hopeless and helpless without the Lord. I'm blinded. I don't even know where the chair is. Think about this. Imagine being in a new house and you don't know where the furniture is. You don't know where the bathroom is. You don't know who to call, where to go. You're just blind, and now you've met the Lord. Sometimes God will place you in an environment that you may not be comfortable with or out of your element, but walk in it. When Saul reached that spot to celebrate victory, there was none. But now he's realizing there's a new Lord in my life. For the first time, I was obedient to God. He told me to go here. That's a transformation. I had letters from the high priest to go after these Christians. I had zeal to do it. And now, for the first time in my life, I'm obedient to the Lord. And if he wants me in this place and I can't see, I'm good with that. Hallelujah. How many knows God will minister great grace? Now, some of you jumped ahead. How many knows that he's going to send somebody to pray for him? I'll get into that next time I minister. When we're grounded in Christ, listen to me, we have no delusions. Jesus of Nazareth, he was crucified. To the world, to Saul previous, he was a troublemaker. He was a blasphemer. But now he met the Lord. Now he met somebody who's alive. That fundamental truth that our Redeemer lives. I said our Redeemer lives. Amen. He's alive forevermore. He's now realizing that it's not a dead Jesus. He wasn't a blasphemer. He's Lord of all. Amen. And now that message is going to come clear in him. If you notice, Paul always preached Christ and him crucified. This beginning of his ministry was so important that he got this down. I love it that God knows how to reach people. Today, more than ever, he still wants to reach people. Yes. He wants to reach people that you know. People that you love, people that you work with. Come on, we all need to reach out. You can't catch unless you fish. Cast that line, amen? And here's the truth. If you'll pray for somebody, you're sowing in the Spirit. If you're witnessing somebody, you're sowing in the Spirit. Sooner or later, you reap what you sow. That's a good thing. Every day, we can sow into the Spirit. Just do that. Just sow into the Spirit. Spend time praying in your prayer language. That's sowing in the Spirit. Thinking and meditating those things. Amen? Is this good today? When John the Revelator spoke in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, he spoke unto the seven churches and says, grace and peace be unto you. That's a reality. For Saul, how many of those grace and peace is upon? It's upon him. It's the start of his ministry. It's what's going to govern him. But obedience is now becomes his portion. Like all of us, if we start to do what the Lord says, you know what? We'll receive more than we ever thought. And if you don't think God can send a servant by, in a few more verses, he's going to tell somebody else to go over and pray for him. That this gentleman's going to be praying, and in a dream, a vision, he's going to see. And Saul is going to see that vision. And know a guy's going to come and lay hands on. You're never alone. And when you think you're at your end, you're probably at your beginning. Hallelujah. Jesus' appearance conveyed to Saul a deep impression of the glory of God. Him in his exalted state. He didn't come like a little babe. He came in his glory. Not all his glory, but what he could handle. Here's the next thing. When people say, I see the Lord, I see the Lord in the natural, you'll be just like Saul, blinded. No, you don't. How many knows he covers some of that up with his glory? Even Moses said, I want to see. He said, you can't see me and live. I'll hide you in the rock. I'll put my hand there and I'll make my goodness pass by that you can see my hinder parts. How many knows that he's unbelievable? Listen, when you get to heaven, it's unbelievable. You have to have a glorified body to stand in his presence, because that one would blow up. There's so much power. There's so much glory. There's so much there. Jesus took all that. He veiled it in flesh so we could see what God was like. A body was created for him. Hallelujah. Well, it's good stuff. Amen. That's why, you know, in heaven's a great place that we're going to. And looking around the room, probably nobody will be here, maybe Allie, in another 50, 60 years. We'll all be in glory, amen? I doubt all of you are going to live to be 150. But if you did, bless the Lord, maybe Caleb, he may be still around. Let's look at it from that point. And we see high and lifted up the throne. Oh, cool. Amen? To see the full glimpse of his glory. To walk in that presence every day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Nobody who goes there ever wants to come back. Even if this has been great. That's how awesome it is. He's experiencing something he never saw before. In a moment. In a conversation. It doesn't say how long that moment was. But it was enough to transform his life. And here's what's neat. The voice that he learned will be the voice that he will hear the rest of his life. Jesus is always consistent. It's that still small voice. The problem we have is right here. Amen? And when this gets clouded, this gets clouded. Lord, I want to hear you clearly. His voice is easily to be entreated. It's without hypocrisy, full of grace and truth. He'll never ask you to run in front of a car. Are you hearing me? He never asks you to do something foolish or sinful. That's not the Lord. Sometimes we need to rebuke some of that we're hearing. No, that's not Jesus. Anytime the enemy tries to run down, God isn't this, you need to, no, that's not Jesus. Just speak to yourself. Nope, that's not the Lord. Anytime that it's not good and perfect, it's not the, you know why? Because he's good and perfect. There's no shadow of turning. There's no gray area in him. He'll never lead you into sin or cause you to sin, but always make a way of escape. Is this good this evening? Gosh, I'm just getting started here. When I look at Saul, realizing persecuting the church was persecuting Jesus. He realized that the intimate communion the disciples had with him, and I really believe this with all my heart, it began to open him up to realize that Jesus loves his people. It isn't a matter of duty or law. He loves. And the love's what keeps you strong. It keeps you motivated. It keeps your heart right. Love people. Never look at it as a duty. He was fulfilling the word before. He followed it to the letter. You want me to go after him? I'm going after him. And now he's saying, hey, I want you to reach him because you love him. It's the greatest motivation anyone could ever have. It's the motivation that will not die, nor will it quit. Saul learned from every tradition of his fathers. And he's saying, now I'm breaking those traditions. Hallelujah. How many of us, God's a tradition breaker? Now, there's some good things to remember, no doubt about it. There's some feasts, no doubt about it. But those traditions that are wrong need to end. I'm serious. I've seen some traditions in the church. This is why we do it, because we've always done it. Well, maybe that ain't working. Amen? I've seen it happen too often that all of a sudden we start in the spirit and end up in the flesh. Paul's going to have to get his ministry in the spirit, and God's going to make sure that no flesh will glory in my presence. The best you can offer is a prostrate thing. You've done met me. You've walked in fear and trembling. That's the best you got. But now I'm going to raise you up by my spirit. You're going to be a different man. You're going to go from Saul to Paul. There's going to be a life changing even in your name. Isn't that cool? Your character is going to change. And you're going to be a world changer. And 2/3 of the New Testament is going to be spoken through your lips. You're going to suffer great things. And what I appreciate about the Lord, I'll get into this later on in the next few weeks, that God's going to even show him what persecution he's going to get and what treatment he's going to get. Prison, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead outside of Lystra, beaten with rods, all for the glory of God. Then God said this, you're not done yet, you must go to Rome. That's where you're going to lose your life. How many of us, his whole life was planned out? And he was obedient to the vision. The vision he got when God met him. We also, church, don't forget your former things. Don't forget the way the Lord delivered you out of. The same God still speaks to you. Are you with me? Obedience is a process and one that we're all working on. But church, we're going somewhere. I've never had more the enemy fight me than any other time in my whole entire life. He fights me every single step. Every step. But you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's why, church, we need to gather together in that prayer time and break those bondages. Amen? Shatter those strongholds that God can bring forth that power in these days. Are you with me, church? This isn't a game. This is serious business, kingdom business. Souls hang in the balance. Then Lord, let's be about our Father's business. Amen? Let's pray for those that once walked with him that made up every excuse why they're not. Pastor Mark and I had this conversation earlier. I've seen a lot of parents today not take spiritual things for, like, importance. And they've allowed everything else to become important instead of the spiritual things. If you get the spiritual things right, the rest of the stuff falls in line. But today, we need to teach that again. We need to speak that again. Train up in the way they should go. Are you with me? Spiritual things are very important. Let's work on this next generation. Do you enjoy this evening? We're just getting like this is intro 101 here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord.